In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you without word and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have not done. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your presence and eternal
punishment. For the sake of your Son, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord was my support in the day of my calamity. He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. My support in the day of my calamity. He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Lord God,
The Lord be with you.
And also with
you. Let us pray. O Lord, since you never fail to help and govern those whom you nurture in your steadfast fear and love, work in us a perpetual fear and love of your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday after Trinity is from Proverbs chapter 9. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me.
The epistle reading is from 1 John chapter 3. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
When one of those who reclined at table with Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But he said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a field, and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame. And the servant said, Sir, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room. And the master said to the servant, Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet. This is the gospel of the Lord. A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. That is how Jesus begins a story to describe the kingdom of God. Jesus tells this story to explain what was happening during his time in Judea, because he had come to Judea as the Lord's Christ. He had come preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. And he is announcing that the prophetic statements made about the Lord's Christ were being fulfilled by him. That announcing of that took him to all sorts of places, because that announcement was to go out pretty much everywhere. In fact, it even takes him to a house of a Pharisee, where Jesus is invited to be a dinner guest. Now, at that dinner, after speaking about behaviors at banquets, and after speaking about the blessedness of inviting outcasts to come to banquets, Jesus receives a comment from one of the other dinner guests. When one of those who reclined at table with Jesus heard these things, he said to him, Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. Well, Jesus' parable that we heard is his response to that comment. Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. Who will those blessed people be? That's what Jesus' story begins to reveal. And it begins to reveal that it's not the group of people that most of Jesus' fellow dinner guests at that Pharisee's house thought the group would be. Instead, some very surprising people would eat bread in the kingdom of God and be blessed by it. So let's consider Jesus' parable. It starts again, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And this was an act of generosity by the one who was holding this banquet. Not only was he providing food, he extended invitations not just to a handful of people, but to many people to participate. The man wanted a great banquet, not only in quality, but also in quantity. That is, he wanted an event with both fine food to eat, but also a multitude of guests present. And this depicts the Lord, who had invited an entire nation to receive his benefits, which the Lord had done by calling the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to be his people. And he promises great benefits to them. But what happened in the story that Jesus told? Well, the man informs his invited guests that the great banquet was about to begin. But the invited guests choose not to attend. As Jesus says, at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, "Come, for everything is now ready." But they all alike began to make excuses. Not only are excuses made, they don't seem to line up with reality. The first said to him, "I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused." Another said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused." And another said, "I've married a wife, so I can't come." Jesus' story depicts the behavior of Israelites throughout time, even and maybe even more especially during his presence in the world. What kept people from heeding the Lord's invitation to be part of the kingdom of God now that everything was ready? Well, there were all sorts of reasons, but we can summarize them. We can summarize at least some of them as they happened in history. In fact, when we read the Old Testament prophets and what they said about the people, we can identify several of the reasons why people would not heed the invitation. There were people who got swept up with the concerns of the world, chasing after wealth or other earthly goods, and that occupied their hearts and minds. We also read how others united themselves to foreign deities. Recall how the scriptures, including those prophets, describe idolatry as marriage to other spouses or even adultery. That's the language used to describe idolatry. And when those became the main concerns and pursuits of the people, then they didn't respond to the Lord's invitations brought to them by the Lord's servants. And it's not just what happened in time.
It's also what stood true when the Lord sent his Christ into the world. Because the same excuses start to be given when Jesus shows up as were given centuries earlier, before he appeared. And so how does the man react to the news that his invited guests don't want to come to his banquet? Well, Jesus tells us in the story, the man has two reactions. He's angry at the invited guests. That's one of the reactions. But the other is that the man ensures that his great banquet does indeed take place and it has people attending it. So the servant came, reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, "Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame." And what Jesus describes there is a depiction of the Lord's actions, especially when his Christ was present in the world. Think about what many of you have already learned quite well about Jesus' ministry, as you read about it in the Gospels. Who were the individuals who received his message? Who were many of the avid hearers of the good news of the kingdom of God? Who were among Jesus' most frequent guests? They were the poor and crippled and blind and lame, just like the man in Jesus' story had his servant find and invite to the great banquet. And sometimes, as we read in the Gospels, they were literally the poor, crippled, blind, and lame. As we hear about the sick and the afflicted who would be brought to Jesus for healing. But other times, those categories could also describe the spiritual condition of the people, like those sinners and tax collectors that we hear so much about in the narratives of Jesus' life, the ones who came flocking to him. But we also heard that the man in Jesus' story wasn't content with just having the poor and crippled and blind and lame brought to his banquet. He also wanted more. He wanted his entire house filled with banqueters. As the servant says to him, "Sir, what you commanded has been done. We got those people you wanted, and there's still room." And what does the man tell his servant? "Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet." And those words that Jesus tells in his story, they begin to depict the actions that would take place when the Lord's Christ completed his work in the world. It's a way of pointing to the Gentile mission that had just initially started during Jesus' ministry, but would begin in earnest after his death and burial and resurrection and ascension. Those guests replace the ones who had been previously invited, just as the man in Jesus' story declares, "For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet." This story of Jesus outlines the history of how expansion of the kingdom of God unfolded. And it is very good for us to be aware of that as we see it described in the Acts of the Apostles or in extra scriptural histories of the church, how we also see how the letters written by Christ's apostles also speak about that kingdom of God expanding to all sorts of places that many people in Judea would have never thought would be part of the kingdom of God. But Jesus' story also has a present-day teaching aspect beyond describing his work in Judea and the aftermath of his redemptive actions. Because the question can be asked in our day about how we are responding to the invitation that has come to us to be part of that great banquet that the Lord is providing. We can extend Jesus' story because we have been invited to the Lord's banquet. His servants bring the announcement, "Come, everything is now ready." In fact, that's how we got to know what love is. As the Apostle John wrote in today's epistle reading, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us." Everything has been made ready because of that. The Lord Christ came into the world and he accomplished salvation for us fallen humans through his atoning work. As he himself would say after it was done, "It is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead." And that has happened. He has died. He has been buried. He has been raised to life again. He has ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And that Jesus has authorized the power to forgive sins to be used. How? That repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name. Where? To all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. That's how the invitation to be part of the great banquet came to us, as Jesus' story vividly depicts. When the master said to his servant, "Go to the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled." But as we hear that, we can ask the questions. Are we being compelled to come in? Do we act positively on that invitation? Or do we make excuses why we won't come? And you might be sitting in the pews and saying, "Pastor, that's a strange question to ask people at church." And in fact, there's some truth to that. Because your presence here indicates a positive response to the Lord's invitation. Otherwise, why would you be here? But we can still ask some other questions about our participation. Are we doing so with frequency and constancy? Is it a common occurrence to be here on Sundays or other times when the Lord brings his gifts to his people? Or do we find that to be more of a 50-50 proposition? Or even worse? That is, do we find ourselves making repetitive and recurring excuses not to be present? Now, we might not give the same excuses as the ones we heard in Jesus' story about buying a field and needing to go out and see it, or buying 5 yoke of oxen and needing to examine them, or marrying a wife and that's why I can't go anywhere. But are the concerns of this world or other spiritual allegiances, are they impeding positive responses to the Lord's invitation? Well, if so, then we are encouraged by his story to begin to remove those obstacles. Because we don't want to end up in the group that received the man's wrath. We don't want to end up in the group that got described by the man in the story. "I tell you, none of those men who were invited will taste my banquet." Today's Old Testament reading from Proverbs was another place where banquet language was used to speak about what the Lord invites us to partake of. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She had mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has set out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. Receiving Christ's words of life brings those benefits to the people who respond to the invitation that his servants issue. It's what the Lord wants us to obtain, what he wants you to obtain. But the book of Proverbs also speaks about another type of banquet that is offered. It wasn't included in today's Old Testament reading, but if you read the book of Proverbs, it follows right after where our reading left off, where the author of Proverbs also says the woman folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he doesn't know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. That type of banquet is not provided by the Lord, but it's offered. It's offered by the Lord's competitors, including those who seek to attract our attention and our focus, particularly in spiritual matters. And we are warned against heeding those invitations or making that banquet of folly and death the more important events on our calendar, rather than heeding the invitation that the Lord issues. So as we apply Jesus' parable, we should recall the Lord's generosity that Jesus described. That even in the midst of rejection by the first invited guests, the man intentionally acts so that his great banquet will indeed have attendees. He will have guests. He sends the servants out to the streets of the city, bringing in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. He sends them out to the highways and hedges, and he has them compel people to come in so that his house might be filled. He does so because the Lord wants people to be recipients of his generosity. In fact, the Lord wants us to be recipients of his generosity. And his invitation is issued for us to receive those benefits, his benefits. And he ensured that invitation came to us who live far away from Judea and who even live far in time from the days that Jesus walked the roads of Judea and sat in people's houses at their dinners. That intentionality was shown to us. Squandering it for what anyone else could offer would be true folly, as Jesus' story declares. There is a blessedness. Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. And that will be given to those who act on his invitation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us together make confession of our faith. I believe in one God,
Father Almighty, Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, you have brought us who once were far off near to you by the blood of Christ. Bless the mission of your church in our land and throughout the world, that through the proclamation of the gospel, many may be built together with us into a dwelling place for you. Lord, in your mercy. God of all wisdom, you set a banquet before us in word and meal and summon us to leave our simple ways and live, walking in the way of insight. Remember our synod president, our district president, our circuit visitor, and all servants of the church. Grant that they would increase in learning and find the path of insight in knowing you. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, your Son has called us to love our brothers. Turn us in love towards the neighbors closest to us, especially within our own homes, that we may daily show our confidence in God by deed and truth, laying down our lives as Christ first did for us. Lord, in your mercy. O God, bless all who govern the nations in your stead. Keep their lips from speaking deceit, turn them from evil, cause them to do good, and help them seek peace and to pursue it. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, give comfort to the sick and lonely and to those who mourn, and hear the prayers of all who are in need, especially Wendy, Michael, Alan, Trent, Lucia, Lucille, Nancy, Jocelyn, Richard, David, Pendo, Michelle, Adam, Laura, Edwin, Jean, Renee, Jason, Helen, Richard, Sherry, Dave, Reynolds, Marianne, Michael, Angelina, John, Lynn, and Jesse. You are the Lord who feeds and nourishes us with your wisdom. Help us to turn to you in faith and find our every want and need answered in your gracious favor. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you have brought your kingdom near in your Son, who has entered our flesh for our salvation. Curb our hearts from a miserly attitude that seeks your gifts at our own pleasure. Give us instead a hunger for what is needful, that we may desire your supper as often as your mercy invites us. Grant repentance and faith to all who receive the sacrament today, that Christ's true body and blood may strengthen us and join us to the Lamb adored by the whole company of heaven. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, for the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. apologize, Jeff. Go in the peace of the Lord. The body of Christ given for you. 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 I thank the Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Bless you and watch your heart. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. Your body of Christ given for you. The true body of Christ given for you. The true body of Christ given for you.
Christ, given free.
Divine Christ, given free.
Divine Christ, given free.
Divine Christ, given free.
Divine Christ, given free.
and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us to this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Spread of all
to be reminded that the baby bottle blast for the Capital Area Pregnancy Center, if you've taken bottles to fill, please remember to bring them back next Sunday if you have not already done so. Those of you who are also helping with clothing closet setup and organization, there are announcements in the bulletin about days this week and next about setting that up. And there will be a further one talking about the time of the event itself later this month. God go with you then as you serve him and serve your neighbors this week.